I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. And I thank God for this beautiful opportunity for me to come to Las Vegas. Amen. I am not going to any casino. This is about as close as I'll get to a casino right here. Amen. But this is a beautiful city. It's a city of lights. But even though it's been nicknamed Sin City, right? Some people call it Sin City. But by the grace of God, we are turning it into a city of righteousness. Amen. Some of the finest Christians live in Las Vegas. That's true. Some of the best churches are actually here in Vegas. Amen. Because the Bible actually says where there's a lot of sin, God pours more grace. When you are washing your clothes, do you realize that where the stains are deeper, you put more detergent over there? Is that true or not? Is that true or not? Isn't it? Where the stain is small, solid, and it looks like it's strong, sometimes you even pre-treat it. Isn't it? So I want you to know that if anybody thinks there's sin in this city, then they are yet to discover the grace that God has given for living here and for flourishing here as a Christian. Amen. Amen. So I thank God for this beautiful opportunity. I'm really happy to be here. Amen. And it's a real blessing. And I thank God. I trust that he will open our eyes to behold wondrous things in his word and teach and instruct us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word and for the opportunity to share. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. I pray, O God, that you will use me and minister to this church. Bless all the members and everyone, Lord. Thank you for the pastors, Pastor Francis and Lady Pastor Caroline. Thank you, Lord, for many years of labor and effort to build the church of God and to build a house for your people. I pray, Lord, that you will bless their work, bless the church, and let this church rise up and be the light you set it here to be, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing, in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. And I bring you greetings, of course, from LA. Amen. Yes. The city of angels. God put the city of angels right next to this place. Amen. So angels come from Los Angeles to Las Vegas all the time. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tonight I want to be sharing with you about salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Because our Father is teaching about salvation.
Amen.
And I think it just makes sense for us to say the same things. Hallelujah. And more so, as we enter the Christmas season, which some people would rather call the holiday season, but it's not a holiday season. It is the Christmas season. Hallelujah. It is the Christmas season, and because Jesus is a giving Jesus, you know, the season is marked by giving of gifts, including the giving of holidays. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, it's a good time to talk about salvation. Amen. Salvation is the reason why Jesus came into this earth. Hallelujah. For us to be saved is the reason why Jesus came into this earth. So, the title of my message tonight is, Your Salvation is Precious. Your salvation is what? Is precious. Tell somebody your salvation is precious. Tell them your salvation is the most precious thing you have. Hallelujah. And then tell them your salvation is the most precious thing you will ever have. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell them one more thing. Tell them there will never be a day when you find yourself having something that is greater in value than your salvation. Tell them your salvation is the most valuable thing you will ever have. So cherish your salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, salvation is what Jesus brought to us. Hallelujah. The reason for Christmas is that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world. Hallelujah. And according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Hallelujah. Amen. Says she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Now, this is the reason why Jesus came to this earth. Amen. He says, he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Now, I was looking in the dictionary on my iPad for the meaning of the word salvation. Right? And the dictionary, does somebody have a dictionary? Do you have a dictionary on your iPad or on your phone or something? Just check for me the meaning of the word salvation. Salvation is the noun. Do you understand? Salvation is the noun. And I mean noun as in the part of speech, isn't it? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're too quiet for me. You understand, right? Yes. So you know what a noun is, right? Yes. A noun is what? It's a name of something, isn't it? So salvation is the noun, and to save is the verb. Do you know what a verb is? I was taught that a verb is a doing word. right? Is an action word, right? So when someone is saved, that means when you apply the word saved to someone, or when you save someone, then they experience salvation. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, he says, he shall save his people from their sins. Has anyone found the meaning of salvation from your dictionary? Yes, just tell us. Read it out loud to us.
Salvation is the act of saving or protecting from harm, risk.
Take your time.
The act of saving.
It is the act of saving.
Or protecting.
From harm.
Risk.
Loss.
Or destruction.
Harm, risk,
Loss. And destruction. Yes.
Harm, risk, loss, and destruction. Harm, risk, loss, and destruction. Okay, keep it on that page and sit there, I'll ask for it again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. So the art of saving people from harm, risk, loss, and destruction is salvation. Do you understand? And the Bible says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, he just read to us that salvation, or to save somebody, is to do what? To save. To save the person from what?
The act of saving.
The act of saving.
Or protecting. From harm. Risk.
Loss.
And destruction.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. Now, when the Bible says he's going to save us, or save his people from their sins. To save his people from their sins means our sins are dangerous. What do you think? Yeah. I mean, if I came to tell you that I have brought, or let me say, I take this lady right here, and I say, I'm saving her from him. What does that make him? Are you understanding it? Yeah. It makes him anything but a kind man, a friend. He's not anything like that. Because we don't save people from friends, isn't it? We don't save people from good things. We don't save people from blessings. We don't save people from things that are helpful to them. We save people from things that are destructive to them, things that are harmful to them, things that cause them to experience loss, things that cause them to experience destruction. Do you understand? Which means your sins cannot be your friend. So if you have a habit or have a life that enjoys sinning, then you have a problem. Do you understand? Means you have befriended a snake. It means you're stroking a viper. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
The fact that it has not yet bitten you doesn't mean it will not bite you. Are you getting what I'm saying? If our sins were okay, Jesus would not need to come and save us from them. What do you think? If our sins were harmless, if our sins were just, you know, that's normal life. Some people call sin, this is just life. normal life. Everybody does this. Do you understand? This is how it is over here. If you don't do this, you're not going to survive. You know, some people even take it a step further and say, you know, it's human. To err is human. You see, that I'm a human being, which means I'm entitled to sinning. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm a human being. So understand that it's okay for me to sin. Understand that it's okay, or I'm likely to sin. My type sins. So it's all right for me to sin. But if our sins were okay, he would not have had to save us from our sins. That also means anybody who is not yet saved from their sins is in great danger. Do you understand? It means that person has not experienced salvation. Which is what? Which is what? Salvation is what?
The act of saving.
The act of saving.
Or protecting.
Or protecting.
From harm.
From harm.
Risk.
That means anyone who is not saved is in harm's way. Are you getting the picture? Anyone who is not saved is in harm's way. So from harm, from what?
Risk.
From risk. Anyone who is not saved is living a risky life. And then what?
Loss.
Loss. Anyone who is not saved is destined to experience loss. That when it's all over and you draw the lines under your life, you're going to find out that you're actually in the minus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what else have you got?
And destruction.
And destruction. Anyone who has not experienced salvation has not experienced the art of being saved from destruction. That means destruction is still pending on your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So this is why Jesus came. That when we celebrate, sorry, you can sit down, thank you. When we celebrate Christmas, there is so much noise made about everything apart from the main thing and what it stands for. There's so much talk, so much celebration. You know, people take time off. There's a giving of gifts, sharing of gifts. And of course, even a multiplication of the practice of sin. Do you see? Yes, sin even multiplies. The practice of it. And people feel that they are entitled to it. You know, they're entitled to it. You know, it's Christmas. I can get drunk. I need to get drunk. It's Christmas. I need to find me some girl. It's Christmas. I need to find me some boy or some man. Because it's Christmas. Do you see me? Yeah. That's what people have turned Christmas into. But Christmas is a celebration of Jesus. It's a celebration of Jesus. It's a celebration of who? Jesus. That is why I find it such a pity that Christians don't go to church on Christmas Day. I think it's such because we miss such an opportunity to make a huge statement. Do you understand? Christmas Eve is not the same as Christmas Day. Do you see? And then some people choose to make an argument about, you know, Jesus was not born on Christmas Day. He was not born on December 25th. I mean, who cares when he was born?
Who cares
when he was born?
Who cares
when he was born? What is so wrong with putting one day aside, any day, and say, on this day, I will remember Jesus, how he died for me. Or how he came to... What is wrong with it? whether it's a Monday or a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. You earn money on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And there's no day that you work and say, you know, because it's Saturday, I'll just do it for free. You still think you deserve to earn your wages no matter what day it is. It means the days don't really matter. What really matters is the work that you did. Is that not so? Same, same, same. So what date, what month, what whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is the significance, the reason why you set it aside. That's what we must celebrate. Hallelujah. And so his name is Jesus for one reason. He said, because he shall save his people from their sins. I tell you, if you're here and you are still living in sin, you are living a life that is acutely in need of salvation. Do you understand? That sin is no life to live. Because look, if it was that great, God will not send somebody to come and save you from it. Sometimes people are saved from dangers they are not conscious of yet. Dangers they are not yet aware of. Why do you think the fire people, we've been having all these fires in California, why do you think the fire people are evacuating people from their homes? They are telling them that there is danger out there and you need to come out. Do you see? Some of the people are even asleep. And then the fire people come and tell them, you need to wake up and get out of here. You need to wake up and get out of here because there is a fire coming. And I can imagine that some of the people don't understand, why do we have to go through all this, you know? Because it must be quite a hassle. If you had to evacuate from your house tonight, what would you even take? Do you see? What would you take? Which of your shoes would you bring with you? You get it? Which of your dresses? And which of your wigs? Me, you're going to think about, you know, which one is your favorite look? You see, which one is your favorite look? So you're probably going to stand in front of the mirror and try on a few of them. And say, this one, when I wear it, people say I look nice. Then you're going to take, and the fire is coming. So that is the reason why people dilly-dally and people like to play with sin. But sin is not a friend. Sin is not a friend. Sin is an enemy. Sin brings about loss. Sin brings about what? Destruction. Sin brings about what else? Harm.
Risk.
Isn't it? Yes. Brings about harm. Sin puts people at risk. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sin brings people to a place of destruction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is why Jesus came, to save his people from their sins.
Amen.
You know, when I read this verse, it just jumped out at me. So, wow, if God has to save me from my sins, then my sins and I cannot be friends.
Wow.
Even though I'm probably very comfortable with my sins. You see what I'm saying? You can be comfortable with an enemy. You can be living dangerously. You know, sometimes when they arrest these people who plot, you know, terror and, you know, do all sorts of things, their neighbors are always shocked. Is it not true? Yeah. Their neighbors are always surprised that right next to them, there was enough ammunition to fight the war in Iraq. They cannot believe it. They can't believe that they are living right next door to such evil. Do you understand?
Yeah.
until the day the evil unleashes itself. That's when people see what they've been living calmly by. So I just want you to understand that sin has a way of being dormant and appearing and presenting as harmless. Even sin has an entertaining value to it. That's why the Bible calls it the pleasures of sin. Do you understand? Because sin has pleasure. Sin has pleasure means sin is nice. Are you getting what I'm saying? That sin is nice. That just because it's harmful doesn't mean it's bitter. No. Because it's harmful, because it's destructive, doesn't mean that it's bitter. No. It's very nice. It's very nice. It has and offers pleasure. But Jesus came. He came to take us away from our sins. He says he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. If you're still living in sin, struggling with sin, you need help. You need someone to save you from that sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because Jesus came for that purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, who does it apply to? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says all have sinned. Look at it. It says for all have what? For how many have sinned? All have sinned. All have sinned. Do you understand? All are not broke, but all have sinned. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, that is one of the reasons why when you preach a message of the gospel and you make it appear like, it's like, come to Jesus and he will give you money. Do you understand? Come to Jesus and he will give you a husband. Or come to Jesus and he will give you a job. Now, all these things are true. These are all things that Jesus does. Do you understand? They are all blessings that we find in him. But they are not the reason why he came. Are you getting it? They are not the reason why he came. Also because not everyone needs one. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. He said, come to Jesus and he'll give you a husband. No, I'm already married. What should I also do? Then I don't need to come to Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? If Jesus is sharing husbands for people, then those of us who do not need husbands need not go to him. Isn't it? If Jesus is sharing jobs, if that's all Jesus is about, sharing jobs for people, then those of us who are already employed and who love what we do, do not need Jesus. Does it make sense? Yes. Come to Jesus and he will give you money. Well, that's great. Then for those of us who do not need money, because you see, when you are broke, you think everybody is broke, but that's not how it is. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, when you don't have money, it feels like everybody doesn't have money. You see some people say, there's no money in the system. There's no money in your house or in your pocket. You get it? But there's a lot of money in the system. You have to just go down the strip and you see there's a lot of money in the system. That's a lot of money, especially in Las Vegas. There's a lot of money here. It's a lot of money. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, what then is the element that establishes commonality between all of us, that makes all of us need Jesus, and that makes Jesus meaningful to all of us? And the one thing we all have in common, what we all have in common, is not skin color. What we all have in common is not height. What we all have in common is not size. What we all have in common is sin. Do you understand? Yes, the Bible says, for all have sinned. All have sinned. And the effect of it is that we have fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of the beauty of God. We don't look like God intended for us to look. Our lives are not like God intended for our lives to be. Our relationships are not like God intended for them to be. Our lives are simply changed, and we are actually affected so much by our sins. That is why he said he came to save us from our sins. Our sins are destroying our lives, destroying our marriages, destroying our relationships. Our sins are ruining our lives, in short. So it makes us fall short of the glory of God. Makes us fall short of the beauty of God. The beauty that God intended. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. As soon as a young man starts to grow up, suddenly the devil embroils him in so much sin, because sin is attractive. Remember, sin is attractive. And sin has pleasure. So he dangles sin, you know, dangles sin before our eyes, and before long we all fall for it. But the true cost of sin is the glory of God. That means you will never be who God intended for you to be. It means you will never look like God intended for you to look. It means life will never be for you what God intended for it to be. And that is only because of the sin. He said, all have sinned. And because of that, we have fallen short. We have, the glory of God is over there and we are over here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We have fallen short of the glory of God. The glory that God intended for man. Do you know that the Bible says we are made in the image and likeness of God? Huh? Do you know that we are made in the image of likeness and likeness of God? Think about it. If God looked like you, would you serve him? Do you understand what I'm saying? But it is because we are falling short. We are falling short of that image. Do you see? That is why things are the way they are. That is why the world is so twisted and so crooked. And we wonder what is going on. Hallelujah. Now, if you go even further, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 is what we read. Chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Did you see that? The wages of sin is death. So far, not even one good thing has been mentioned about sin. Do you understand? Look at it. It says, sin pays wages. And we all are attracted to wages. But just when you're about to smile, because sin is about to give you some wages, then it tells you what the wages are. Do you understand? And he said, the wages of sin is death. That means the wages of sin. No wonder Jesus came to save us from our sins. That is why he came. He came, read the thing again. Salvation is what? It will do what? It is the art of what?
The act of saving.
The art of saving.
Or protecting.
Or protecting.
From harm.
From harm.
Risk.
Risk.
Loss.
Loss.
Or destruction.
Or destruction. Or destruction. There is no good in sin. Even when sin seems to pay, the Bible says its paycheck is death. Its paycheck is diminishing and killing people and shrinking their lives and shriveling their lives until they are destroyed and completely removed. That is the effect of sin. And you know one thing about wages? Thank you, you can sit down. One thing about wages is that most wages are not paid on the day they were earned. Is that true or false? How many of you have jobs? Raise up your hand, let me see if you work a job. Yes. Is it true? How many of you went to work today? You went to work today. Did you work? How many hours did you work today? How many worked for 8 hours? Okay. 6 hours? So who worked for 6 hours? You worked for 6 hours. Who else worked today? How many hours did you work today? Almost 10 hours. Wonderful. Ma'am, what did you do today? How long? 10. You did 10 hours today. Wow. How many hours did you work? You worked 5 hours today. Right. Now, can you imagine? Now, tell me, for those of you who worked today, was any of you given what you earned today? No? Really? So, are you sure it's worth going back there tomorrow? Huh? Are you going to, who is going to work tomorrow? Who is going, those of you who raised up your hand, who is going back there tomorrow? Raise up your hand if you are going back to that place tomorrow. Are you all not going? You are the ones going back there tomorrow. You went there today and you're going back there tomorrow. Did they give you anything today? They didn't. And you're going back there tomorrow. Why? It looks like you enjoy working for free. Really? It is because you know how the wage system works. That the wage system is such that it's not handed to you often on the day you earned it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, this right here is what deceives many people when it comes to sin. Do you understand? Because when you sin, it is often not followed by immediate results. See, all the things that he's reading, you often don't see them immediately. Do you understand? You don't see the harm. You don't see the risk. You don't see the distraction. And you don't see the loss. Isn't it? Often it feels like you gained, actually. Isn't it? Yeah, it feels like you gained. You know, you're able to convince some girl to do one or two things with you, you know. And then you leave feeling very good. You see what I'm saying? You feel very powerful. You feel like an overcomer. Do you understand? Yeah, if you feel like you have gained something. Now, it is true that you have gained something, but that something you gained, the Bible says, if sin ever pays you a wage, expect that it is bringing you nearer to your death. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If sin ever pays you a wage, if sin ever gives you anything, just interpret it properly, because sin has wages, yes. But the wages of sin is death. It's never the pleasure it seems to be. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is often not paid at the time you earned it. But it doesn't mean you haven't earned it. All these people who went to work and didn't get anything, they are going back there tomorrow because they know that they didn't come with anything, but they have earned something. Do you understand? They have faith and they know, come Friday, come next week Friday, or at the end of the month or whenever, there is a payday. Do you understand? And it is the anticipation of the payday that keeps people going back to the same place, even though they don't come with anything. Does it make sense to you what I'm sharing with you? Yeah, that is how it is. So don't think that you're going scot-free just because when you sinned didn't give you any paycheck instantly. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every sin we are committing is going to pay us in due season. I tell you, come the end of, you will not even need to calculate your paycheck, isn't it? No, you will not even need, they'll calculate it exactly. And you will be paid exactly what you are due. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will be paid exactly what you are due. No more, no less. Do you understand? Yes, and if you are cheated out of it, if you get more than you deserve or get less than you deserve, that balance will be added. It is always sure. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the reason why God sent Jesus to come and save us from our sins. Save us from what? Our sins. Save us from what? Our sins. Save us from our sins. Save us from our sins. Our sins. What is sin? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, all unrighteousness is sin. Anything that's not right is sin. Wow. Yeah. He said, all unrighteousness, if it's not right, is sin. Do you understand? Not if you are caught, is sin. If it's not right, caught or not caught, is sin. Is it making sense what I'm sharing with you? I'm sharing with you a Christmas message. Do you understand? Yes, all unrighteousness. Ask your neighbor, is it right or wrong? Yeah. Tell them, if it is not right, it is sin. Do you understand? Then it says, and there is a sin not unto death. Do you understand? There is a sin not unto death. You see, so the fact that you have not died from it doesn't mean it's not a sin. Hallelujah. If it's not right, it's a sin. Rudeness to parents is a sin. If it's not right. Do you see what I'm saying? If it's not right. If it's not right. Do you understand? Stealing paper from the office is a sin. If it's not right. It's a sin. Anything you wouldn't do, if the boss was there, you wouldn't do it. It's a sign that it's not right. Do you follow what I'm saying? That if the boss was standing there, you wouldn't do it. Including some of the things you say. That if the boss was standing there, you wouldn't say what you said. So the fact that you are saying it in his absence is a sign that it is not right. And if it is not right, then it's a sin. Can you understand now why it says all have sinned? Because when we start to use this definition, then you realize that all of us have sinned. Do you understand? Whatever is not right, if it's not right, it's not right. It's not right to be ungrateful. It's not right to steal little things. It's not right to tell lies. It's not right to misrepresent things. You know, to say things in a way so people will think some other way. Do you understand? Yeah, to represent things in a way so their mind will go on something else. It's not right means it is a sin. And if it's a sin, then Jesus came to save us from our sins. Hallelujah. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Came to save us from our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And he says, all have done it. All have sinned. See, when you meet human beings, we like to, you know, represent sin in shades. Do you understand? Yeah. We like to present sin in shades because we are used to colors coming in shades. And when you say it's blue, you have dark blue and then you have light blue. Do you understand? But God is not interested in the light or the dark. It's the blue. Do you follow what I'm saying? When you bring your clothes to the washing machine, do they all have stains in the same place? Do they all have the same amount of stains? So then why do they all belong to the wash? Because all have sinned. All have sinned. Some have sinned around the neck. Some have sinned in the chest. Some have sinned different places. But all have sinned. Some have sinned just lightly. Others have sinned quite deeply. But all have sinned. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They all need one solution. And that solution is Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They all need one solution, and that solution is Jesus. So don't feel that you are better than somebody because you haven't done what they have done. Do you understand? You may not have done what they have done, but they also have not done what you have done. Do you understand? Yeah. You may not have done what they have done, but they also have not done what you have done, which is to think that they have done worse than you have done. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. We should rather be thinking of ourselves and be thanking God for Jesus Christ. Amen. And thanking him for sending Jesus. He says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus will save you from your sins. Amen. I said, Jesus will save you from your sins. Amen. You no longer have to live a life of sin. Amen. All the sins you have been struggling with, Jesus came to set you free. And this Christmas, Jesus is saving people from their sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the effects of sin is to cut off God's help from people. Do you understand? Yeah. Sin interrupts your relationship with God. Sin interrupts the flow of grace, blessings from God to God's people. Sin does that. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Look at it. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1. He says, behold, 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 behold. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, just watch me. I'm just going to be done in a short time. He says, listen, he says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Can you see that? Yeah, so God can save people. God can help people. God can rescue people. God can deliver people. You know, one of the questions people ask all the time, where was God when this was happening? Do you understand? Where was God when this was happening? If God is God, how does he allow this to happen? You know, and we only think about that when something bad happens. When nothing bad is happening, nobody asks, where is God that I may even worship him, or where is God that I may just know his address? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, people, nobody is asking for God. Like right now, nobody is asking for God. Nobody is asking for God. Nobody is saying, where is God? But if there was a tragedy, if there was some problem right now, everybody would start asking, where was God when that was happening? You see? But this verse explains some of it. It says, God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. It's not that God cannot save. God cannot intervene. Do you understand? Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. It's not that God cannot, he doesn't have a problem with his ear. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then verse 2, he says, but your iniquities, do you see, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That is the reason why Jesus came to save us from our sins. Because our sins have a way of cutting us away from God's provision, God's intervention, God's blessing, God's help. Our sins just want to take all those things from us. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he says, God's hand is not shortened. You see, can you come again, please? You see, if she stands here, right? Okay, she's standing right here. Can everyone see her? You see, my hand can reach her, isn't it? So if she was in some trouble, I could just snatch her out of the trouble. Do you understand? Because my hand can reach her. Remember, if she's in any of those dangers there, if she's about to experience what? Loss?
Harm.
Harm.
Risk.
Risk.
Loss.
Loss.
Or destruction.
Or destruction. Any of these things, I can just save her from it. I can just pull her away from it. Because she's right here. Do you understand? Now, Winnie, I want you to bring one of those chairs. Bring one of those chairs. Now, these are her sins. Okay? I am the Lord. Just for example. Okay? Bring it. Bring it right here. So now, between me and her, her sins. Put one sin here. Okay? So because her sin has come, there's now a little bit of distance. Can you see that? Can you bring more sins? Bring more sins. Bring more sins. So here is another sin. Right? Yeah. And actually put them nearer here because she's the one moving away from God. God is constant. God is in the same place. Right? So can you see? Right? So bring more sins. Iniquities. You see? So it's moving. Now, do you realize that my hand and the length has not changed? Isn't it? Right? So it says, my hand is not short that I cannot save. The problem is that her sins and her iniquities have separated. So my hand is still stretched. I am still God. I can still do anything I have ever done. But where she is, where she is, where she is. And it is our sins that separate us from God. Now, if you know anything that would put this kind of distance between you and God and deprive you of so much, then you know that it is great news to hear that God has sent someone who will save you from these things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when it comes, you are going to be Christ. Come and remove the sins one after the other. So she removes the sin and she's closer. Can you see? Come and remove the next sin also, right? She stopped fornicating and that's also gone. Can you see that? Can you see her coming closer? Right? The more the sins are removed, come and get the last one. The more the sins are removed, the closer she gets. Do you understand? And the easier it is for God to bless her and to save her. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why it's such great news when you read the verse that says, you know, your sins. No, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. I pity anybody who is not saved. You should have pity on anybody who is not saved. Because when people are not saved, it means their sins have remained between them and God. It means, he said, look at it, it says, his ear is not deaf. Not that he cannot hear. But when the sins are so much, even when you speak, from where you are, when you speak, do you understand? When you speak, it has to come through all those sins. Do you see? He says, God will not hear you. God will not hear you just because of that distance. Hallelujah. How many can see that sin is costly? Sin is costly. Hallelujah. Sin is deadly. It may not feel like it costs you something, But it's very costly to continue to live in sin. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Many of us grade our sins we judge our sins by whether we're going to get caught or not. If someone is going to find out, then maybe it's not a good idea. Do you understand? But if no one is going to find out, then maybe it's just okay. But tonight I'm showing you something that found out or not found out, your sin still has wages. And at the appropriate time, sin will show up with this check. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the checks that sin gives, they lead to death. Amen?
Amen.
And anything associated with death. Death is the ultimate. Do you see? Death is the ultimate. But between nothing and death, there's a whole range of things that can happen to a person because of their sins. But thank God for Jesus Christ. I said, thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ. He came to save his people from their sins. And he will save you from your sins. Jesus has come so you don't have to live in sin anymore. Tell somebody, it's enough. Tell the person, it's enough. Salvation has come. Tell the person, you can now be saved from your sins. You don't have to live like that anymore. Jesus came to save you from your sins. Hallelujah. Is that good news or what? How many are happy that Christ has come to save you from your sins? Yes. Anybody who received Jesus as their Lord and Savior is being saved from their sins. Hallelujah. That is why we receive him. We receive him as what? Our Lord. And then our what? Right? Our Lord means he rules over you. And our Savior means he's the one who is rescuing us from what? From what? From, yeah, Joshua, give it to us. Yes?
From harm.
From harm.
Risk.
Risk.
Loss.
Loss.
And destruction.
And destruction. Hallelujah. He's the one who is rescuing us. That's why he's our Savior. Does it make sense now? Do you understand? So when you meet someone and you say, have you received Jesus as your Savior? You know what you're talking about. But most of the time, they don't know what you are talking about. Because they feel they are cool. They feel they don't need a Savior. And you feel you don't need a Savior because you don't know also your danger. If you were familiar with your danger, if someone explained to you the wages of sin, what you are paying for continuing to live in sin, you would realize and appreciate the value of a Savior.
Wow.
You will be glad that there is such a person as Jesus. And you will be happy that there is such a season as Christmas. You'll be glad. And every Christmas, you will have a party. Every Christmas, you're going to celebrate. Every Christmas, you will have a big party just to celebrate and say, you know something? I thank God for sending Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. I thank God for my salvation. Hallelujah. I'm appreciating my salvation more and more every day. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God that I was not left to go to hell. That I was not left at the mercy of my sins. Something that strips me of the glory of God. Something that leads me to death. Something that cuts off God's help from me. Something that makes God not hear me. Where am I going in life without God? How far would you go without God? What can you do and how successful can you be without God? It's not just about money. Success is not just having money. And some people think that if you have money, you don't need God. But God and money are not rivals at all. They are not substitutes for each other. It's not like if you get money, then you don't have to have God. That's not how it is. Do you understand? No matter how much money you have, you still need God. God is like oxygen. There's no amount of money you have that you don't need to breathe anymore. Do you know anyone who is so rich he doesn't need to breathe anymore? God is like that. Do you see what I'm saying? You need him whether you have or don't have. You need him whether you have a problem or you don't have a problem. Do you understand? You need him because all have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short. Tonight, I want to pray with you to receive this Jesus as your Savior with meaning. Do you understand? And say, Jesus, I embrace you tonight as my Savior. It has to mean something. Do you understand? It has to mean something. If I came from outside and walked in and I told you I just saved a little kid, would it not occur to you that the kid was in some kind of danger? If I told you I just saved a little kid, I just helped this little kid, you would think, of course, that kid must have been in some trouble. So if Jesus came to save you, then you must have been in trouble, whether you were aware of the trouble or not. Hallelujah. You don't need to be fully aware of the trouble for salvation to be real and true. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Stand to your feet tonight as we bring the service to a close. Stand to your feet tonight as we bring the service to a close. And I want everybody to bow your heads. Just bow your heads, everybody. And I want you to thank God for your salvation. And thank him. If you are saved, thank him for your salvation. But for those of you who are here tonight, maybe someone invited you to church tonight, but you know in your heart that you are not saved. You are not saved. You have not asked Jesus to come into your heart. See, if you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart, then it means you are not saved by him. You are not helped by him. You are not delivered by him. If you have not asked a plumber to come into your house, then it means your plumbing problem is still there. So if Jesus is a savior and saves us from our sins, and you have not asked him to come into your heart, then your sins are still there and they are not attended to. Your sins are still there. Your sins are still there. But tonight, God wants to take away your sins. God wants you to invite Jesus to your heart. I want to recommend that you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and Jesus will take away your sins. He will save you from your sins. He will save you from your sins. Is there anybody here like that tonight? You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? Raise up your right hand tonight and let me pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Anyone who wants to receive Jesus as your Savior, raise up your right hand. Let me see. I want to see it, and I'm going to pray for you. Just raise up your right hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just raise it up, and I'm going to pray for you. Now, do me one favor. Just leave your seat and meet me right here. I'm going to pray with you. Just come. Come to me. If your hand is up and you are serious about it, only if you are serious about it, just come. Come to me right now. I want to pray with you. Just stand right here with me. I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here who wants to do this? You want to give your life to Jesus? You want to say that, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I need salvation, and I want you to save me. If you're here like that, just come and join that prayer. Join us here right now for this prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He will come and save you. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want everybody to join us as we pray this prayer. This is a very important prayer, because this prayer will make a huge difference to your life. So everybody join me as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight, I acknowledge you as the one who came to save me from my sins. Say, Lord Jesus, only you can save me from the things I've done wrong.
From the things I've done wrong.
From my sins.
From my sins.
Only you can save me.
Only you can save me.
I acknowledge that I'm a sinner.
I acknowledge that I'm a sinner.
So Lord Jesus.
So Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my
heart. I need you.
I need you.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
To save me.
To save me.
To rescue me.
To rescue me.
To deliver me.
To deliver me.
To deliver me from harm.
To deliver me from
to
harm.
To deliver me from risk.
To deliver me from risk.
To deliver me from distraction.
And
to deliver me from loss.
And to deliver me from loss.
Oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Be my Savior.
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 And be my Lord.
And be my Lord.
Say, please write my name.
Please write my name.
In your book of life.
In your book of life.
Move me from death to life.
Move me from death to life.
Write my name.
Write my name
in your book of life.
In your book of life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus,
for hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Now, the rest of you, I want you to pray just before we close. Just close your eyes again, and I want everybody to pray and thank God for your salvation. And pray that God will secure your salvation. God will help you stay saved, remain, and regard and value your salvation in the name of Jesus. Pray, everybody just pray that this is the precious thing that God has given to you, which is your salvation. And you must value it. You must cherish it. You must not play games with it. You must not play games with it. But you must cherish it. You must value it in the name of Jesus. Thank God for salvation. Say, Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for salvation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the salvation of my household. Thank you for the salvation of everyone who is connected to me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, we bless your name tonight and thank you for our salvation. We didn't even ask for it, but you loved us first and gave your son, Jesus, for us. You loved us first. You made the first move. And Lord, we thank you for touching our hearts to respond to that move. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us with this revelation of salvation, that we may see and know that you have given us something precious and something great, that we will cherish it and not lose it, that we will not turn back and walk out of church and walk out of the faith and walk out on Christ and turn our backs to him as though we never experienced salvation. We thank you for your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Clap for Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed tonight?
Extremely.
How many are glad about your salvation? How many can say tonight that sin has no more power over you? Because Jesus has saved you from your sins. Saved you from your sins. Hallelujah. Now you look at sin and say, I don't need to do this. I am saved from you. You get it? You should tell sin, some time ago, I was at your mercy. Some time ago, I'll be shivering as I see you. But now, Christ has set me free from you. I'm not afraid of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're not afraid of sin. You can live righteously for God. I said you can live righteously for God. You can live righteously. You can live the righteous life. You can live a holy life for God. Hallelujah. Is it a blessing? Put your hands together for the Lord one more time. Amen. All right.